GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Paris AI Summit concluding today, and Vice President J.D. Vance, on his first foreign trip in office, told the world leaders and tech executives the U.S. opposes AI regulation.
We believe that excessive regulation of the AI sector could kill a transformative industry just as it's taking off.
Meanwhile, the EU is threatening what it calls countermeasures after President Trump announced 25% tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. He also demanded Hamas release all Israeli hostages by the weekend. Hamas has said it's putting the next release on hold, accusing Israel of violating the ceasefire. A federal judge extended the hold on the Trump administration's buyout offer to federal workers. Three unions representing federal employees called it an unlawful ultimatum. And the Justice Department ordered federal prosecutors to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, saying it would inhibit Adams from helping the immigration crackdown. This is ABC News. A deadly plane accident in Arizona involving a private jet belonging to a rock star. ABC's Andrew Dimbert says that plane's landing gear failed and it hit another jet.
The Learjet is registered to a company owned by Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil. The rock star was not on the plane, but TMZ reports his girlfriend was and broke five ribs. She is recovering in the hospital along with a friend she was traveling with. TMZ also says they were traveling with dogs who survived. Authorities have not released the name of the person killed or the other survivors. Two pilots were operating the Learjet at the time of the crash.
Scottsdale Airport's closed until further notice. If you can find eggs at a store, you may not be able to buy as many as you want. Trader Joe's says it will limit purchases to one dozen per customer per day. Other stores are also starting to put similar limits in place as bird flus devastated poultry flocks, cutting egg supplies and sending prices higher. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
You know, you're sore when you start working out after you haven't worked. Okay, so yep. No big deal.
Did you stretch before you worked out?
Yeah, big time.
You did not. Yeah, see, that's okay. So you stretch before and after. And really, your stretch before and after should equal the time you work out.
Okay, hey, Dad.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, do you think what Trump is doing is actually working? I'm going to break it all down about the real strategy and how it will impact you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 12 for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5, and it's fairly light, but it's enough to keep that wind chill around zero most of the day. Tonight, 2 above. Tomorrow, cloudy with some light snow. We may get an inch or two through tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we'll put the wraps on our current NFL season, along with Sarah Van Wagner and Abby Huntley, the Wellness Command Post.
And Julie Dressing joins us, the Director of Communications, Building for Kids, Family Valentines.
Join us.
Well, here we go again. Prepare yourself for another battle with Mother Nature. Welcome to a Tuesday morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. You're likely going to hear a lot of conversation about Wisconsin weather today because we've got a storm system that's developing as soon as tonight and going to bring measurable snow to some parts of Wisconsin by the time we get done on Wednesday. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will have all the weather details. I can tell you the forecast in front of me calls for a chance of flurries this morning, probably before 7 a.m. Otherwise, a partly sunny day, 21 are expected high, but the wind chills will be noticeable. 0 to 10 above, maybe. Then tonight is when the snow starts kind of coming around. Precipitation possibilities, about 20%. Wednesday, snow. High temperatures, around 20 degrees. Wind chill values will take that number down to about zero. Snow accumulations, 2 to 4 inches possible. A lot of that around southern Wisconsin. So we'll have to get a better shot on just exactly where the snow is going to land. Is it going to be widespread or fairly concentrated? Like I said, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, brings us those weather details. Also talking about a new system through the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction to try to connect schools with local farms that might be able to help supply them some local produce. Stephanie Hoff's got that story on the way. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also stepping in. President signed into effect a 25% tariff on steel, particularly. How's that impacting our markets? How's that impacting agriculture? All of it on the way. You know, everybody in Wisconsin does like to talk about weather, especially at this time of the year. One person that was in Wisconsin last week for the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, Eric Snodgrass. He is a senior meteorologist with Conduit, and he is a self-proclaimed weather geek. He was a keynote speaker at the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, and long before he got in front of that audience, he was already preparing data that he wanted to share.
It helps that I'm a nerd, okay, and I like it, but every morning my alarm clock goes up about 4:45. There's a whole lot of people in this state waking up milk cows that do the same thing even earlier than that, but you know, you wake up and you want to see what's changed, and I like to have content out the door early, and I've got a teenager at home and a 12-year-old at home, which means I like to have my evenings free, so I try to load the morning up with all the content, get things done, and then chill throughout the rest of the day, but I find that a lot of the growers that I work with, they need to make decisions early, so we try to get it up and get going.
Overriding themes seem to be we've got a problem, but it's not a problem that I think at first blush a Wisconsin farmer recognizes. Right. Go a little deeper for me.
So there's a few things we need to think about. One, fall's drought is still lingering underneath this frozen soil. Two, we had one of our driest Januaries on record. It was also quite cold. We accessed a lot of Arctic air. The third thing is that there's concern that drought could move in toward the Mississippi River during summer from the west, not the east. I think Wisconsin may have some troubles with having an early jump on the growing season. I'm concerned about there just being probably an active pattern around the Great Lakes all the way through April. We're used to that. I mean, we're used to tight windows here, but I just don't like the fact that we could, unlike the last few years, turn summer into a risk time period. I don't necessarily think it's Wisconsin. I think it's west of you.
Yeah.
But it's going to be something to watch because the world is waiting for some sort of supply-side shock to the main crops that are grown here, and they're going to keep an eye on it because it's not happening in Brazil right now. So that's, I think, the storyline.
And that's something I want my Wisconsin farmers, they all wake up with their weather apps and they're staring at what's happening in my backyard. In the state, even in the region, is not good enough anymore. Right. You painted a very eloquent picture of why we need to pay attention to the Santa Ana winds and those incredible fires because they are a part of our weather.
Yeah, I mean, so those winds come out of the east, right? And we live in the westerly wind belt. The whole United States does, except for the southern tip of Florida. That's the only spot that lives in an easterly wind belt. So the reality is if you can get a wind to come out of the least anywhere other than southern tip of Florida, we've got an issue. The flow is not coming from the right direction. And it's being corrected halfway right now for the next 10 to 15 days. That's why we've got chances of more snow and ice across the state. We've got chances for moisture. It finally came back that things are looking a little better. But it's got to last all the way through April. Otherwise, we look at a 15 to 20 inch snow deficit as of February 6th, right? We've got to correct that. We've got to correct with spring rains the soil moisture issues. And until that happens, I'll just be worried. And I think the problem was with, how do we get a snowstorm down to the Gulf Coast? Well, you have to have Arctic air over us. How do you get a fire to blow up in California in the middle of winter? The wind's got to come from the wrong direction. Those are two things that are working against us having a good winter pattern in this area.
You're not the only one that's concerned about these gyrations in patterns that we had felt fairly predictable.
Yeah.
Now, I apologize in advance. Is that called climate change, Eric? Or is this something that, as a weather expert, you just understand these anomalies come up every century or so?
Yeah, I mean, the anomalous behavior we're talking about right now, this is most certainly within the realm of understanding weather patterns, right? But you ask yourself, is there any sort of systematic longer-term shift in the state of Wisconsin? I'll tell you what we do know. You go back over the last 70 years and look at some trends. Wisconsin, during your growing season, April to October, you're on average, not every year, but on average, the trend line is up 2 inches on total precip. We're wetter. We also know that in Wisconsin, our overnight low temperatures are up about 2.5 degrees during the middle of summer. So that means that we are extending our frost-free season on either side of that by about 10 days on total. What has not gone up is your daytime highs. We have no trend at all in our daytime hot temperatures. That's flat. The overnight lows are up a little bit, and we're wetter. So the reality of it is when you fold this into a larger discussion about climate variability, the net shifts we've seen in the last 70 years in Wisconsin are pointing toward increased productivity. Now, I can't say that in other parts of the world, but right around here, all of those longer-term shifts are a super positive thing.
Now, let's talk about around the world, because our eyes are always trained on South America when it comes to corn and soybeans. But then there's the bigger picture. We always hope for disaster someplace because it seems to influence the markets. But from a holistic standpoint, Eric, okay, Wisconsin's benefiting right now, but the world has to be fed. Could climate change help us globally?
Yeah, so I've done a study on this. I looked at the world's productive ground for growing big grains, okay? And we looked to see which places were insulated from longer-term variability and which places were possibly going to be negatively impacted or positively. So the positively impacted places stretch from the Midwest to the Canadian prairie. Negatively impacted places stretch from parts of Australia. There's big parts of Southeast Asia. And the big thing we have to think about is Brazil. So you know Brazil grows two crops, right?
Right.
First crop beans, second crop corn.
Yep.
What we've seen is that over the last 50 years, the start of the monsoon, which typically starts sometimes in September but has to be going in October, November, October precipitation has almost cut in half in the last 50 years, which means their monsoon starting later. That compresses their growing season.
Mm-hmm.
Their monsoon typically lasts to the very end of April. We've been watching it peel back to end at some point in early May. So they're expected to continue to expand acres, right? Do you know there's a study done back in 2021 that found, using satellite data, there's 400 million acres in Brazil alone that's not rainforest and not city, but it's pasture land that they could convert over to growing corn and soybeans. That's the entire size of the Great Plains of the United States. But if the climate shifts in that area are squeezing their crop production calendar, it's not going to be as easy to put all those acres into place as fast as they could. And there's just concern that that may slow down what will inevitably be a pretty substantial increase in total acreage. But I'll tell you, we live in a place where, because of our centrally located region in a continent and the fact that there's no mountain chain to our south, that we have access to the right kind of things to continue to grow on some of the best soil on the face of the earth. So climate variability here is a net positive.
Talk to me a little bit about technology, not what farmers are using, but instead what you, as a forecaster, somebody that's invested in giving weather knowledge, tell me about the technology, Eric. Maybe since you first, as a kid in high school or junior high, whenever the eraser hit your head, when you first became engaged in telling the story of weather or trying to figure out the relationships, tell me a little bit about the technology and where we're going. What gets Eric excited about, pretty quick they're going to have that ready?
Well, when I first started, we printed out maps and hung them on a wall. They were called DIFAX maps, and you had to do hand analysis with, literally, we did it every day with colored pencils.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing ever happened to me. I had to sit down and do it by hand, so that now when I write the the software to do it, because I'm a fingers on keyboards kind of guy. I write all the software to make this. I fully understand what's going on in the background. Okay, what am I excited about? To be honest, AI is making a huge push in predictive science. So we already have our first suite of artificial intelligence weather forecast models, and they're good. They're really good. In fact, I have them for free on my website right now. It's free website, ag-wx.com. You can go there and see them, the artificial intelligence models. What I'm also excited about is as we build out this ability to gather more information, you combine that with the machine learning that's been enabled through AI, we're coming up with better statistical evidence on how to predict future weather events. And that's pretty fun. So to be honest with you, when I leave here, I got to run over to Indiana. I'm going to get to the hotel as fast as I can, and I'm going to sit down and keep working on these models. I love to write the software that makes these things work. That's what wakes me up even earlier sometimes in 4:45, and I get to get those fingers on keyboards. Because ultimately, what we do that all for is to give you a better answer, an answer that is statistically more accurate and therefore more skillful over time, so that weather no longer becomes a massive risk factor that you have to adjust to or react to, but a risk factor that you can plan for. And to be honest with you, I don't think we'll ever get there in markets, but we could get there with weather to where you can start to be more strategic with better advice. And that could be huge. I hope to be a part of that revolution.
No, I don't want to completely disengage my production audience, Eric, because as I understand it from other weather staff, you still need a ground truth. You still need engagement with growers that are living it and saying, hey, Eric, 140 got a half an inch, the other didn't get any.
That's right, because even though you would say that we're in this incredible era of data collection and data processing, it is woefully deficient. I went and testified before Congress in 2023 on this very thing. NOAA is getting a funding boost, and they said, what should we spend it on? Like, easy infrastructure. You spend it on your computing infrastructure and your observation network. They said, what do you think we should do? I said, you should triple the number of weather stations across the country. And we, you know, they did it. They're putting money into mesonets and all this kind of stuff. I love every bit of it. But that's because that when I was with those, that was a bipartisan committee, just so you know, they understood that the mission of NOAA is to save life and property. And to meet that mission, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. We all have to deal with weather, and they put the money in it. And what's good about this is, did you know that they surveyed the U.S. population on what they thought the most highly functioning part of the government is, and they chose NOAA.
Mm.
Yes, so one survey says we're doing a pretty darn good job with what we're up to. But I'll meet a lot of farmers that'll be like, oh, come on, guys, you got to do better than that. So there's a lot of room to improve.
Eric Snodgrass, he is a senior atmospheric scientist at Conduit Ag and keynote speaker at the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. Snodgrass is prolific across all social media platforms. If you're interested in following his forecasting, again, Eric Snodgrass. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty.
If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many areas in Milwaukee are considered a food desert. That's why there's the mobile market. You'll find out how you can use it yourself. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Marketing joining us this morning, 25% tariff on steel and aluminum. You got questions for John? Go ahead and send them to me on our talk text line. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us this morning. Getting a couple reports from folks out there that they're already seeing a slight dusting of snow. Just the tip of the spear, so to speak, of this next storm?
Yeah, this is actually one on its own, Pam. I mean, a little weak front pass through, still a little light snow on the radar, southeast Wisconsin, northeast Illinois, just enough to cover up what melted yesterday.
Yeah, well, and like you said, so that's just the beginning. Is it mostly going to peter out this morning and then rebuild for Wednesday?
Correct. We get the little bit yet this morning. That's not going to last a real long time. Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha is still going to have a little for a couple of hours. But we dry it out today. And in fact, more sunshine develops. Temperatures staying a lot colder in northwest Wisconsin. Not quite so cold in far southeast parts of the state. But the next stronger system developing way to the south is going to push up past Wisconsin, just passing off to our southeast through Wednesday into Wednesday night. In fact, it pushes up into Ontario, Canada by early Thursday. Now, that shouldn't be a big deal. You'd think passing off to the east, we won't see much in the circulation around that low. However, I do expect some more sizable snows, especially in southeast Wisconsin. There's a winter storm watch already in effect from 9 a.m. Wednesday to 3 a.m. Thursday. And that covers Rock, Jefferson, Walworth, of course, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Waukesha County, Ozaukee, Washington, and Sheboygan. All of those counties under that winter storm watch, and that's where they could see a little more snow than everybody else. The snow will cover a good part of the state, though, far southwest up toward Green Bay, northern parts of the Fox Valley. That's where 1 to 2, maybe 3 inches may accumulate. It will be heavier in the southeast. Temperatures get colder after that system passes as well. That may be the wintry aspect here. We get a little boost in cold air on toward Thursday, but believe it or not, one more weak low does pass by to our south. We may have just a little snow to wrap up the week late Friday or on toward Friday night as well. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS,
you know how devastating yield loss can be.
That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment.
Alrighty, Stu, let's talk a little bit about this. You know, while many people may lament the commute, our Wisconsin snowmobile folks are suddenly feeling a little bit better about things.
They're feeling better. They're hoping for snow. I'd like to see a lot more snow out across our fields, too. It just doesn't seem like we've got enough cover. Let's talk about it. A little flurry activity in the southeast yet this morning, not amounting to much. Clouds in the west clearing, becoming mostly sunny from west to east today. And I'd expect those temperatures maybe only in the mid or upper teens in the far northwest to the low 20s in the southeast. And the winds are going to be from the north about 5 to 10. Overnight, clouds redevelop, and I expect nighttime temps single digits south, maybe just below zero in the northwest, with northeast winds developing at 5. Remember that winter storm watch on the far southeast tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 3 a.m. Thursday. Cloudy skies, snow heaviest in the southeast, up to 5 or 6 inches in far southeast Wisconsin. Looking toward Madison to Fond du Lac, maybe 2 to 4, and much lighter the further you head to the west and northwest. Temps tomorrow in the upper teens, maybe a 20 in the south. And by Thursday, Pam, back to some sunny skies, teens, with a west wind at 5 to 10, and later Friday, a little light snow.
All right, so we're going to have definitely plenty to talk about tomorrow morning. Get your preparation in place now for the snow.
That's right. Be ready.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch with you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stumach, our ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for. We've got market details on the way. John Heinberg, our guest on a Tuesday morning.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Paris AI Summit concluding today, and Vice President J.D. Vance, on his first foreign trip in office, told the world leaders and tech executives the U.S. opposes AI regulation.
We believe that excessive regulation of the AI sector could kill a transformative industry just as it's taking off.
Meanwhile, the EU is threatening what it calls countermeasures after President Trump announced 25% tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. He also demanded Hamas release all Israeli hostages by the weekend. Hamas has said it's putting the next release on hold, accusing Israel of violating the ceasefire. A federal judge extended the hold on the Trump administration's buyout offer to federal workers. Three unions representing federal employees called it an unlawful ultimatum. And the Justice Department ordered federal prosecutors to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, saying it would inhibit Adams from helping the immigration crackdown. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dogman, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number two and three from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number four with just under $4 million in its eighth week of release, and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top five is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its second week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks bow to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Stephon Curry led Golden State with 38 points, the most he's had all season. Jimmy Butler had 20 and 9 rebounds in his second game for the Warriors since being traded from the Heat. Damian Lillard also had 38 points in the loss.
I thought we didn't execute well enough out of that, you know, the screening, slipping, getting the guys involved that we wanted to get involved. We didn't do it consistent enough, and then, you know, it was still a close game. Loose balls, they got to them. You know, we allowed them to get off threes. You know, they got a lot of shooters, and I thought they separated themselves getting threes off, second opportunities, and then obviously the turnovers. You know, I felt like I had more turnovers than I ever had in a game today, so you're not going to win a game not valuing every possession against a team that's shooting the ball like that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former police officer and podcaster Mark Motorson, who will discuss a fun true crime event at the Appleton Historical Society. And our pal film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 12 for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5, and it's fairly light, but it's enough to keep that wind chill around zero most of the day. Tonight, 2 above. Tomorrow, cloudy with some light snow. We may get an inch or two through tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to WIAgTourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, I think everybody's been there because he was sitting there for the longest time. So I just gave him a little beep. And it was green.
Yeah.
I could see he was vaping. It was meant on his vaping thing. And then all of a sudden he rolls his window and gives me the bird. So I'm trying to get his attention. So I can see that I'm giving him the finger too, but I couldn't get my window down.
And you wanted to make sure he could see it.
I was waving to him like, hey. Yeah, exactly.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
The Athletic.
Percent tariff signed into effect that will impact steel and aluminum. So if you're in the building process, if you need those components for your processing, or you're involved in agriculture, this is what the market's talking about on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're going to catch up with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, and find out how this is impacting our markets this morning and maybe what's next. We know that many of the tariffs that were threatened against Canada and Mexico have been paused until the beginning of March. How are our commodities feeling? We'll catch up with John. And by the way, if you've got a question that you'd like to pose for John, you're welcome to use our talk text line and I'll relay it his way. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the 11th day of February. What can I tell you? On this day in 1990, Nelson Mandela finally freed after 27 years as a political prisoner. It was all focused on South America's anti-apartheid campaign. Nelson Mandela ultimately became the president of South Africa, but he was freed on this day back in 1997. Quite a few birthdays for you today. Former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, is 61 years young. Controversial radio talk show host, Alex Jones, 51. The always young Jennifer Aniston is 56. And happy birthday to Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. She turned 63 today. And now you know, a new program has been created in Wisconsin to make the most out of resources available for school districts. What am I talking about? The Farm to School program. You know, for a lot of our local schools, their cafeteria staff, their school lunch coordinators, for them to spend the time and energy trying to find local farms where they can source some of the items they need, that's time consuming. It's difficult. Stephanie Hoff joins us now with a story about a new program that's been created to try to make that process easier. Stephanie?
David Lee Schneider joins us. He's on a small diversified farm just north of Green Bay, but he's also had an appointment with the State Department of Public Instruction. He works with the school nutrition and farm to school teams. He spent the last few years on a mission to grow a database of farms and schools that are in need of local food. David says it's a tool that's ready for farmers and schools to use. But first, he takes us back to why this kind of tool was needed in the first place.
As we know, the COVID pandemic brought to light that the food supply chain kind of broke down and had some troubles there. So farmers were having difficulty selling the food products that they had. And then schools and the public were having difficulties trying to get the food. So what happens is the U.S. government, the USDA, said let's promote farm to school, direct sales right from the farm, right to the school. Sometimes it goes through a food hub or the aggregator in the middle. But the idea is to have an alternate or a supplement of the food chain going straight to the schools.
right now you're building a database to make this happen. It's kind of a three-year project, right, to build this up?
The database is built and going. The three-year project is a grant that Wisconsin applied for it and received it, and then it's $1.4 million, and we hired three full-time positions. One's a person is a farmer, that would be me. One's a chef, my partner, and then another lady's a dietitian. So the idea is that the farmer knows how to grow the food, like say the chicken or the potatoes or the corn, and then the chef puts it all together. They know how to cook it and make it like schools do, and then the dietitian explains like what happens to you when you put this in your mouth and you swallow it. So it's a really whole, well-rounded team that helps promote from farm to school.
The database is ready to use and in action. So tell me, who should be using it?
Who can use that is farmers, schools, and anyone on the public as well. They can go on there and see one of their local farmers and say, hey, I'd like to pick up some carrots or something. Let me contact them. So the information for the farmers there, like the name, the email address, phone number, what products they have, what months they have those products available. Do they have trucking? Do they have liability insurance? And the school's information is also there. So if I was a school food service director and I was in need of, say, turkey, I could look up on there, find local turkey from a local farmer, and call them and contact them and make a deal, or vice versa. If I was a farmer, I put my turkeys on there, and then hopefully the school or the public would call.
And it's easy to find online. Tell us, what do we search?
So you can just use a Google search for Wisconsin Local Foods Database, and it'll come up. And when the database comes up, there's even a short 5-minute video. It's very user-friendly. It'll show you how to sign up. If you were a farmer, you could click on there. It would show you how to do that part. Or a school, I'll click on that, and it would show you how to sign up as a school.
Do you use it?
Yes, I've used it many times. As a matter of fact, I was with one school district, and they wanted some turkey. They didn't have any turkey for the line, so I got a hold of a local turkey farmer, which is actually only 10 miles away from that school. And then we brought 50 turkeys from that farmer and brought it right to the school. Of course, it went through the processing, correct processing with the USDA stamps and all that, and then it ends up in the school, and the kids eat that.
How many farmers have signed up? How many schools?
Off the top of my head, I believe there's 118 different schools that are on there, and the farmers, I believe, are 87. Those numbers might not be exact because it changes each day, but it's a general idea, yes.
From a monetary standpoint, any other stories about how this diversification has resulted in steady business?
There's many stories, but as the database develops and the connections go, what we're trying to do is build long-term relationships here. So it is just a three-year project, like we say, to the farm-to-school program. But as that expires, the idea is that the long-term relationships are built, and there's many of them, many success stories with fruit growers. One grower has apples, and they do like Apple Crunch Day and things like that. So they provide the schools with lots of apples, and the kids crunch them. So there's a success story there.
He says the database is completely free to use. Just search Wisconsin Local Foods Database online. David Lee Schneider along with us. He's been working with the Department of Public Instruction to grow this farm-to-school database. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
So, you know, this is the time of the year when conventions and conferences are happening all across the state. The Wisconsin Pork Association had their annual convention last week in Wisconsin Dells in conjunction with the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. While they were there, they presented some of their scholarships. Jenna Broglie, a student at UW-Platteville, picked up a $1,000 scholarship. She also grew up in Platteville. She's majoring in agribusiness with a minor in marketing and communications. Mallory Cypress from Arpin is planning to attend Iowa State University to study animal science. She picked up another one of the Wisconsin Pork Association's scholarships. And Wyatt Stoll from Waupun, he's very involved in his school and community, including being a member of the soccer and wrestling teams. He's also involved in the FFA. Wyatt is very involved in not only exhibiting, but also selling hogs at the Dodge and Fond du Lac County Fair. Those are your three scholarship winners from the Wisconsin Pork Association. This morning, market's a little nervous with all the tariff discussion back online. We'll talk about that with John Heinberg in just a little bit. Barrel cheese yesterday in Chicago gained 3.5 cents to 181.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 4.25 at 190.25. Double A butter stood still. In overnight electronic trade, the March Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is unchanged at $19.69, but April closed 25 cents higher at $19.47 a hundredweight. December new crop corn is unchanged at $4.71. November new crop soybeans are up 2 right now at $10.59. And July new crop wheat, 3 cents stronger, $6.07 a bushel. John Heinberg joining us next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After 22 years as a commissioner and chair of the Federal Election Commission, Ellen Weintraub was purportedly sacked by President Donald Trump with this terse sentence: "You are hereby removed as a member of the Federal Election Commission, effective immediately." But as with several of Trump's recent actions, it's not legal. Weintraub may have made Trump's enemies list when she and another commissioner issued a statement in 2021 after the FEC's 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans deadlocked, subsequently dropping the campaign finance violation complaint resulting from Trump's $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Weintraub and then FEC Chair Shana Broussard said after the dismissal, "The commission therefore did not have enough votes to pursue well-grounded charges that the former president of the United States knowingly and willfully accepted contributions nearly 5,000% over the legal limit to suppress a negative story mere days before Election Day." The Campaign Legal Center's Trevor Potter, himself a former FEC chair, said in a statement, "In claiming to fire a commissioner of the Federal Election Commission, the president violates the law, the separation of powers, and generations of Supreme Court precedent. As the only agency that regulates the president, Congress intentionally did not grant the president the power to fire FEC commissioners." In a post on X, Weintraub vowed to continue her work on the commission. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers is on a vacation, so it'll be Tuesday Tangents with you and Aaron Zommers. And headlines of the day. Be with us then. And what's worse? We'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
79. We'll get to the tariffs, John. I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk about it. But there is a commodity that's been seeing a lot of strength in the marketplace, and we've not been discussing it. That's wheat. What's been going on there? I've got to believe that some of it has to do with this weather pattern that we're watching coming over Wisconsin. We're going to get a little bit moisture. There's not been much moisture in the Plain States. Is that part of the story?
Yeah, that is part of the story that's helped support the wheat market here recently. I mean, we've had a nice move higher off of some recent lows here in the wheat market as prices have just got some money flow into them. Again, the weather here in the United States is such a big factor, especially for that hard-bred winter wheat or the winter wheat crop that's raised down in the southern plains. If there's not snow cover on the ground and it's dealing with cold temperatures, the potential for winter kill goes up. We always kind of joke that they try to kill the winter wheat crop about 8 times every year during the winter time frame because of weather concerns. So that's brought some premium into the marketplace, at least here on the domestic side of things. The other side of it that's been improving too, we've been seeing some decent movement of wheat on the export market. That's one of the areas that the United States continually struggles with, just because we're not one of the world's leading producers of wheat. You know, there's just always somebody's got wheat supplies available. It just feels like it's kind of a 12-month out of the year crop. Either Australia's got a good crop, or Brazil, Argentina's got a crop going. You obviously got the Russian wheat supplies, European wheat supplies constantly coming into the marketplace. So that's one of the things that comes into play. But we saw a good round of export inspections yesterday in terms of bushels moving out, which is good to see. So that's been the last piece supporting the next piece supporting the wheat market.
Well, we'll have to just kind of wait and see what happens with that weather situation. Again, John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's talk about these tariffs, not necessarily impacting wheat yet, although considering the direction the Trump administration's been going as far as executive orders, it sure could. What's popping up on your screens this morning, John, with this talk about aluminum and steel tariffs?
Yes, President Trump announced yesterday that he will be imposing a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum imported into the United States, and that includes no restrictions on that. So that's everybody that is involved in steel aluminum trade. The big concern to markets regarding that is what's going to be the counteractions towards that type of tariff. We look at our imports of steel and aluminum. Canada is number one by far. Mexico is number two in terms of the steel imports. And then China is number four on that list in terms of the amount of steel that we bring into the United States. Canada is number one in terms of aluminum imports. So, do we see some reciprocal counter tariffs? Those are the things that the market gets the most nervous about. Obviously, if those tariffs get put into place against U.S. imports, that brings the cost back to the producer, and that drives prices down in that regard. So that's what brings the volatility into the markets in general, especially into the ag markets, is the possible impacts that we could see from what we call a counter tariff on some U.S. goods. Now, we haven't really seen anything yet come into play in terms of an impact. We haven't seen any announcements so far this morning, but that's what brings that volatility into the marketplace in terms of the tariff side of things when it comes to prices coming back to the producer.
It's not just our corn and bean commodities that we're watching either, John. I mean, we often talk about things like our energy stocks, what's happening with crude, and gold is really catching new attention.
Yes, gold has broken to new all-time highs here in this last few days with this most recent move higher. And again, this is just a point where gold is one of those commodities that people go into in terms of purchasing when there's a lot of instability, and it's a flight to safety for per se in that regard. With the volatility that's come in with the President Trump's programs and policies, there's just a little bit of concern where things are going to be. So a commodity that money will move into is gold, and we've seen that run as we're poking towards $3,000 an ounce on gold. We'll see if we can get there. It looks like we're turning off a little bit today, but it's early in the session. But again, gold is one of those commodities that draws money when there's just concern or uncertainty in a marketplace. And right now, where policy direction is going has brought money into that gold market.
What is happening with energies? I mean, now we're starting to watch weather patterns that could influence some of that market move as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, then the crude oil market and the energy market, the prospects of supplies coming because of the open up the drilling mentality that the Trump administration is going to have has kind of weighed on prices after a pretty good run to start the year. I think we're just going to find ourselves a little bit of an equilibrium until we get a little better direction in terms of where those policies are going to be. But again, a lot of markets here that have brought just volatility in right now that we haven't seen for a while as we're just trying to figure out what the new path is going to be.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, along with us, 800-334-9779, totalfarmmarketing.com. Well, I got you, John. Little advice. This is the time of the year when farmers make decisions on crop insurance. Farmer dairy producers looking at dairy margin coverage. How are things tool-wise looking for growers with all this uncertainty going forward? You got any quick advice?
I mean, obviously, we're working on that side of it right now. My advice for people is just make sure you got your protections in place and be aggressive in terms of some of those plans, because there's just going to be a lot of things happening in the next 12 months here as we figure out the marketing year. So just make sure you're analyzing your operation. Look at building the best plans you can.
Any particular deadlines that are looming? I know ARC, PLC, another one of those decision-making tools.
I don't know that right off the top of my head in terms of when those deadlines are, but I know those decisions are going to be needed to be made very, very soon.
Yeah, I hear you. Everybody kind of watching those emails pop up, those text messages pop up on action. All right, my friend, appreciate the heads up on where we're going for today. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, please remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. His toll-free number, if you want to talk to him, 800-334-9779. And like John pointed out, do be sure that you're checking in with your crop insurance provider, your farm service agency offices, if you're wondering about dairy margin coverage or ARC versus PLC. In fact, Stephanie Hoff has a conversation with Dr. Paul Mitchell about ARC PLC. Want to find it? Head on over. You know where? Our website, MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
When I started farming, I never imagined I'd be leading policy discussions or representing farmers in my community. But Wisconsin Farm Bureau has helped make that possible. Their leadership programs gave me the skills and the confidence to step up and make a difference for my farm and for Wisconsin. If you're ready to lead, Farm Bureau is ready to help.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
What's up? It's Russell Nicolay with Nicolay Law, Madison's award-winning injury law firm. Remember, if you've been injured, get Nicolay. Check us out at NicolayLaw.com or call us at 1-855-NICOLAY. If you need to win, get the beard.
In Disney's The Lion King and in our world, fatherhood plays an important role. Take time to be a dad today. Visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Buying a really good piece of jewelry may seem intimidating, but not after you talk with William Thomas. They take the time with you so you know your money is well spent, not overspent. Their decades of knowledge shine almost as brilliantly as the stunning stones in your custom piece. Come see the collection of gorgeous gems and choose one for your very own.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Celebrating 30 years of brilliance.
Turn a remnant into a remarkable look with the selection at Wise Way Flooring. Hundreds to choose from in all lengths and sizes. With cash and carry discounts, this is an economical way to carpet your home office, family room, or bedrooms. I'm Jeremy Yenser of Wise Way Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Econimwalk. See how our warehouse remnants might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
Years ago, I loaded a single ladder, a few tools, and my overwhelming grit and determination into an SUV. Over time, I hired more painters and developed specialized teams. Today, the Painter Lady continues to serve our area with free estimates, stellar products, and a super skilled team.
The Painter Lady, creating beautiful and inspiring spaces.
Visit thepainterlady.com.
We're known for our sweet moves, but what you might not know is that we can store your stuff too. Yep, from one day to one year, we can hold on to your things on our trucks or in our warehouse. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the unexpected storage move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Save money year-round with the Latitude 43 HVAC Club. You'll enjoy an annual spring and fall tune-up on your HVAC system, annual dryer vent cleaning, 15% off any repairs, and accrue $50 annually towards purchase of a new AC unit or furnace. As a Latitude 43 HVAC Club member, you'll enjoy peace of mind knowing your heating and AC system is running smoothly, and you'll have the veteran-owned Latitude 43 crew to back you up. Sign up at HVAC43.com.
I do solemnly swear
a federal employee.
That I will support and defend.
I am a Customs and Border Protection officer. My job is to keep my country
against
safe.
Against all enemies.
We work to make the national banking system safe and sound.
I am proud.
We've got Wisconsin.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark. Green Bay's real news and great conversation. A civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The European Union says it will act after President Trump imposed 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to the United States. The European Commission's executive vice president called it economically counterproductive, but the president said Monday,
"It's time for our great industries to come back to America. I want them back to America."
He also demanded Hamas release all hostages by the weekend, saying he was speaking for himself, not Israel. The Trump administration and Elon Musk continue to clash with judges who hamper their plans to shrink the size of the federal government. One federal judge extended the hold on the Trump administration's buyout offer to federal workers. The Justice Department's ordered federal prosecutors to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, saying it inhibits him from helping the administration crack down on illegal immigration. And Vice President J.D. Vance at an AI summit criticized excessive AI regulation. This is ABC News.